RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Dr. Malcolm Kendrick is a Scottish GP who has long been an outspoken sceptic with regard to the medical status quo. Here's a quote from him. "It's just not possible to believe much of the clinical research that's published." He blogs at drmalcolmkendrick.org to provide some balance to the increasingly strident healthcare lobby that seems intent on scaring everyone about almost everything. Does that ring a bell? He's also the author of The Great Cholesterol Con, Doctoring Data and the Clot Thickens, and his wiki page was deleted in 2018. Dr. Zoe Huckham and Dr. Malcolm Kendrick have both been vocal critics of statins for their poor benefit and nasty side effects. In 2019, they were attacked by the Daily Mail in an article for calling some of or all of this out. They were accused of being purveyors of misinformation, spreading deadly propaganda for financial reasons. They were accused of killing many thousands of people for discouraging their use. The doctors sued The Mail on Sunday and journalist Barney Kalman for libel. So what happened? We'll find out because Malcolm Kendrick is with us now, beaming in all the way from the UK. Malcolm, thanks for coming back on RCR. I think you spoke to my colleague Peter Williams not too long ago. Nice to have you back.
Thanks for being invited on. Unfortunately, the time zone means I probably can't remember anything because I'm still half asleep in Macclesfield in England.
All right. Well, thanks for warning us. If you get off, I'll let you know if you get off topic. Before we start talking about the case, I think people are only just sort of waking up to this whole cholesterol thing now and the danger of statins. The Great Cholesterol Con, I know it was years ago that you published that. But what is the con exactly? What is the con?
Well, the con is, well, if I can go back, the it's also been called the myth by Dr. Ufin Ravneskov from Sweden, who pre-published me, the swine. Now, he wrote a book called The Cholesterol Myth a few years before I wrote The Cholesterol Con. So I couldn't call it a myth anymore because that title had gone. So I decided to call it a con. But I think con's not a bad word to use because it almost is a big con trick. It's when it first started, it was probably, I think people did believe that cholesterol caused heart disease and they were quite honest in their opinions and blah, blah, blah. So that you can't call that a con. You can just call that being misinformed or whatever. But I think that over the last 40 years or so, since statins came in, which are the highest selling drugs, making the most profit in the history of probably profit, I believe they've made $1 trillion in profit since they were launched. They're all out of patent now, so they don't make so much money. But I think the con began to really take shape once people realized how much money could be made out of vilifying this poor little innocent molecule. And it's not just the pharmaceutical industry who make trillions, the low-fat industry, you know, low fat this, low fat that, low fat everything, this terrific substance that lowers your cholesterol level, that's probably a $1 trillion industry as well. So I think essentially the con is that this cholesterol is not harmful. Cholesterol is essential to human health. And yet we've been made terrified of this enormously beneficial compound. So I think it really is a con now. Yeah.
I was talking to Asim Malhotra recently about his movie, and I think he said over 50% of people in the Western world are on statins. It's something like that.
Well, in theory, I've no idea if that many people actually take them, because when I speak to patients, quite a lot of them have quietly stuck them in a cupboard and have never actually taken them.
Prescribed.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot. Prescribed. Yeah. Prescribed and taken are definitely not the same thing. But according to the guidelines, years ago, the Norwegians did a guideline study looking at how many people, if they followed the guidelines, over 50, men over 50, if they followed the guidelines on cholesterol lowering and blood pressure lowering, and that would have been 92% of the Norwegian male population over 50 should have been, if they were following the guidelines, that would be 92%. So these figure, the 50% is to an extent an underestimate of how many people would be taking all sorts of medications. And with cholesterol, they use a risk factor calculator in the UK called Q-Risk-3. And if you put in all the figures, and if you're absolutely healthy, there's nothing at all wrong with you, you have no raised blood pressure, you don't smoke, you don't have diabetes, you don't, you know, you do nothing wrong, apart from the fact that when you reach the age of 55, it changes because they keep lowering the figure. So it's 62. Once you reach the age of 62, the guidelines recommend you should be on a statin for the rest of your life. So that's at least 100% of men over 62. And of course, everybody's got a bit of a risk factor. Some people have a very slightly raised blood pressure or whatever. So, I mean, that figure is, it currently, I'm not sure if it's true or not because the figures are difficult to establish. But it, if people follow the guidelines, it would be more than 50%. And in fact, I mean, more insanely, in my opinion, is that the value of cholesterol level that is considered high has come down and down and down and down and down to the point where it is now, I think the last time I looked, 75% of the Western population had a cholesterol that was considered to be high and in need of some form of treatment. I mean, what we seem to be saying is every single person over the age of about effectively about 55 is ill and needs a statin. And actually everybody, well, 75% of the population of the world needs to have their cholesterol lowered. I mean, how can 75% of the world be unhealthy or to have a risk factor that is above average? It's a bit like saying everybody over 5'9" is over tall and needs to be shortened. I mean, it's just absolute nonsense. And yet somehow we seem to be blindly wandering along going, yes.
Well, people agree. I meet all sorts of people, if it comes up, cholesterol is that they're pre-programmed and they even know their level and are proud of it.
Yes, they.
You know, it's been sold that well.
Well, it's a terrific contract. You know, I mean, it's just astonishing how, I mean, no one challenges it. I suppose this comes to what I'm now most interested in is this theory of once the experts all gather together and start providing a message, it's really difficult to break into that noise. You know, it's astonishingly powerful and somewhat frustrating. You know, as people that I know say, well, how's the war against cholesterol going? And I go, well, I'm losing at the moment, but I'm kind of hoping I'm on a little island in the middle of the Pacific, and the rest of the world is against me. But I'm certain at some point I'll break out of here. I shall invade the rest of the world and conquer them.
One man victory.
One man everything. Victory. Yeah.
So what do I want to get to the libel in just a moment? So what do statins actually do that make them dangerous to take?
Well, I don't like to use the word dangerous.
All right, well, another word then.
All right, I'll use the word unpleasant. They are known to cause adverse effects that are so serious people have died. That's happened. I don't know how many people statins have killed, but I mean, most medications, if you take them, if you look at the figures, will kill people. They're not wiping people out in their thousands. My concern is more that they cause a wide raft of unpleasant adverse effects, which reduce the quality of life of so many people. And yet this is just ignored and airbrushed out of history. And you say, why do they do this? Well, a little known fact is that when the statins were first launched, the first statin was launched by Merck. They actually had it. They put in a patent application for the statin to be taken with another tablet, which contained a substance called coenzyme Q10, which most people have never heard of. But coenzyme Q10 is a vital molecule in your body. And it actually, what happens with statins is they don't just block the production of cholesterol in your liver, they block the production of coenzyme Q10. And coenzyme Q10 is essential in the function of your little mitochondria, your energy-producing batteries in your cells. And when you reduce coenzyme Q10, you reduce the energy production in your cells, in your mitochondria. And this can be so severe in some cases that it basically causes, that's one of the reasons it causes in a lot of people, muscle pain, joint pain, and things like this. And also fatigue, tiredness, your memory function becomes lower, not for everybody. So the actual adverse effect was known, entirely known by the pharmaceutical industry before these drugs launched. But I think Merck had a look and thought, you know what, it's probably best not to be giving the antidote to a drug and the drug at the same time.
Yeah,
as it might make people think, you know what, I don't think this drug is particularly safe or beneficial. So they canned that, just basically then, since then, have said, well, they don't actually have any adverse effects at all, and nobody's had an adverse effect. And anyone who thinks they've had an adverse effect is basically just imagining it. And this is the nocebo effect, which is basically if you think a drug will cause an adverse effect, it will cause an adverse effect. So this is the latest, this is just an utter load of baloney. I could use ruder words. So
these are bollocks.
Well, I could have said that, yeah. And also, I mean, the fact is that cholesterol is an incredibly important molecule in your body as well. And therefore, just one example, there's a doctor called Dwayne Graveline, who is actually an American aviation doctor. He was actually an astronaut. He was on the astronaut program with NASA, this guy. But he had an episode where he completely lost his memory. It's a situation called total global amnesia. And he thought he'd had a stroke. And he couldn't remember what he'd done all morning. And he wondered about thinking, what the hell happened there? And he'd just been put on statins. And he then tried to find out if statins could cause this. He spoke to his own doctor. He said, no, don't be stupid. These drugs can't cause this. So he started back on statins. He had another episode of total global amnesia. And it was a very upsetting situation. And as an aviation doctor, he thought, well, if this can happen to me, what could be happening to, say, airline pilots when they were taking statins? And he was researching this and thought, he was looking at airline crashes where something unexpected had happened. The pilot had done something completely mad. And he started to wonder if perhaps they'd had episodes of total global amnesia and couldn't remember how to fly the plane, which is not a very cheery thought for it.
Not when you're trying to land.
Not when you're trying to land. How do I do this again? Yes. Where am I? Who's this? What's this stick in front
Heathrow.
Of me?
Yeah. This is familiar.
What's that long strip of concrete in front of me? it's not funny, obviously, but he actually set up a website looking at adverse effects, and he just found hundreds and thousands of them. And there was also a study done in the States where they looked at people who'd taken statins and had given up. And I think the figure was 65% of people taking statins had suffered some form of adverse effect. I mean, some of them were quite mild and some of them probably were the nocebo effect, but a lot of them were real. And these effects exist and affect an awful lot of people. And I've just been trying to say to the public, really, you know, they're not benign drugs. And the problem is that because doctors are just as bought into this as everybody, if you go to your GP and say, oh, I feel tired, or my memory's not working well, or my muscles are aching, they kind of go, oh, well, that's just aging. You know, what do you expect? You're getting a bit older. So they're dismissed out of hand. So an awful lot of people, in my opinion, are struggling under a burden of adverse effects from statins, which are the reasons why are known physiologically and medically. We know why these things happen. And yet people are just being utterly dismissed. So I think I'll stop there. But that's where I am with this thinking.
Yeah. So why then does the Mail on Sunday decide to have a real go at you and Zoe Harkham? What was happening there? What triggered them, do you think?
What triggered them? We did have our days in court where the Barney Kalman was asked, you know, why did you do this? I'd like to say also Asim Malhotra was attacked in these articles. We were the three named people, but he decided he didn't want to take part in the libel action because his mother had died very recently beforehand. And not understandably, he thought, I can't cope with this as well. So obviously he's as delighted as everybody else, although he's not named, if you like. Why did they decide to have a go at us? Because essentially, superficially anyway, Barney Kalman had been at a cardiology conference in the States doing his medical journalism thing. And people had started going on about how terrible it was that people were questioning statins and were kind of likening us to vaccine deniers and causing harm. And I think he thought, well, this is a good story. I can have a right bang at somebody and make myself look good. And he then, behind the scenes, he was actually discussing the articles with various experts in the UK at Oxford University. So people like Sir Rory Collins, you know, big names who really actually coordinate all of the statin and cholesterol data and bring it together. So they got behind him and they fed him with information. So I think he thought, I'm safe here. I've got all these experts, the chairman of the British Heart Foundation, the guy who runs British Biobank, Sir Rory, Professor Rory Collins, Sir this, Sir that, Sir next, upstairs and downstairs, Sir Liam Smith from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. And I think he went to his sort of chief editor and said, look, we've got this story. It makes us look good. It makes them look bad. Let's have a go at it. And I feel slightly sorry for Barney Carman because he didn't realize that he was taking a knife into a gunfight. He had no idea what he was going to hit. And once he did, I think it suddenly became aware that we weren't a bunch of lunatics who didn't know what we were talking about. I mean, Zoe Harcombe's got a PhD in a PhD? No, she got a doctorate in statistics and mathematics from Cambridge University. You know, I mean,
good luck with that, right?
yeah, good luck with trying to show her a review of the statistics that were rubbish, you know. I mean, I've written books, lectured, and some people, I've been invited to things like the Scottish Lipid Society to talk there and discuss, you know, statins. So he had no idea, you know, he thought he's a couple of wacko nut jobs, you know, wearing tinfoil hats that can be attacked. I didn't quite realize that also behind us were people like Fiona Godley, who was the editor of the British Medical Journal.
Yeah, the PMJ, yeah. Yep.
And a lot of really, we had a lot of professors on our side as well, in truth, and still do. You know, Professor Michel de Logereau from France, who actually did the Lyon Heart Study, who's a highly respected guy, exactly on our side. You know, we have our own little army. I think it's a bit like Vladimir Putin thinking, you know, we shall conquer Kiev in 3 days, and then sort of realized like, actually, you know,
back it up.
These guys have got some pretty serious weaponry too. So what did it? I think they just thought this is an easy target. We can be obliterated. We won't. There's no way we can possibly fight back because who's got the money to do that kind of thing? Hmm. And so we thought, well, so do you. You know, you can't accuse me of killing thousands of people.
That's next level, saying that.
Well, what could be? I mean, that's worse than. Well, I mean, that puts me. I don't know if people in New Zealand are aware of Dr. Harold Shipman in the UK.
Yeah, we know about Shipman, the serial killing doctor. Yeah.
Well, I'll make him look like he's in the lower leagues, and I'm right up there. I'm the biggest killer. I'm the biggest doctor killer in the United Kingdom, if that's true. You can't have that. And then we're told about those pernicious lies, and we only did this because we had venal motives and we wanted to make money. Like saying, if I wanted to make money, I'd be promoting statins.
In the statin business. Yeah, of course. Yeah. $1 trillion. Yeah.
Mm. $1 trillion. I mean, if you're on side with these guys, money flows. You know, the tap's open. If you start saying no, and if you start saying, and a lot of medical research is utter bunk and we should be getting increasingly worried about it, you're not someone who gets invited across the Atlantic to talk at big fancy conferences. You're someone who gets... told if someone gets Wikipedia, just wipe you out because you know it's just.
Well, that's a badge of honor these days, anyway. Actually.
Well, I think it is. Yeah. I was there first. I got booted off Wikipedia before it was fashionable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everything comes around again. So, did you know this piece was coming? Did he come to you or any of the others for comment?
Well, he wrote to us all, but it was he didn't say this is the article. He said, well, we're thinking of running articles where we're going to say that you're wrong about, you know, statins and that you're he didn't use words like pernicious liars or killing thousands or whatever. He just said that we feel that your ideas are wrong and that it could be damaging, and we have this professor and that professor and blah 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 all saying this. Give us less than 24 hours to respond. Luckily, we did respond, both myself and Zoe, quite heavily with quite a lot of information and data and studies and blah, 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 none of which did he pay any attention to. You know, I think I said, you know, something like some of the stuff that I sent him was just dismissed. In fact, was never even answered. You know, I said, well, what about this study and what about that study and what about this? And he sent it to his professors in the background, Sir Colin Bagent, and said, well, what about this reply? And Beijing Judge said, in fact, at one said point, he said, this is the sort of rubbish that we're up against, you know. What, you mean a scientific paper and data, you know? It was just extraordinary, and none of that got in. In fact, the professors in the background said, well, this is terrible. You know, can't have these people saying these things. Don't worry, I'm intending to you know, my great novel that no one will ever read. No, my great about the evil corruption in the background. I just thought it was, and the judge himself said that, you know, you gave them hardly any time to respond. You didn't inform them of the, you know, the seriousness of the article. When they responded, you just dismissed everything they sent back to you and basically paid no attention to any of it. The only thing he paid any attention to was he said, there's no evidence that you're a general practitioner working in the NHS or privately, to which I said, well, you can publish that if you want, but you're going to have to find that very rapidly after that, your arse is going to be on fire, because I am a GP and you could have found that out very easily. And I'm not even responding. I'm not even going to give you the, you know, I'm not going to give you any information about that.
Do your own legwork.
Don't say something that's just utterly wrong. I wish I hadn't done it now, because it would have given me even more leverage to say this was rubbish. But so he took that bit out.
The arrogance is quite mind-blowing, though, isn't it? To be so sure and confident and so dismissive of serious people who you're about to malign, and you're doing it like, you know, oh, we'll get away with this.
Clearly they thought we'll get away with this. We can say whatever we like. And the professors in the background, you know, were all cheering him on, and, you know, make it harder, make it punchy, you know. There was Professor Sir Rory Collins was the one that really put the old, this is far worse than the MMR vaccine stuff in, thinking that'll really get them. You feel like saying, well, you know, we're not going to go down that route because it's you know, that can be debated long and hard anyway. But he was really trying to put the boot in this guy. He tried to put the boot into Fiona Godley a few years previously as well in the BMJ for writing an article publishing articles where the adverse effects of statins were said to be 20% or whatever. And he just went ballistic. And there's a whole behind-the-scenes sort of discussion went on with him and Fiona Godley, where he's basically attacking her for publishing it and says they must be taken down and this is absolutely outrageous and I'm going to sue the BMJ and stuff. And he completely lost his case in the background, because the BMJ said, well, we'll have a review of this. And they brought in their own professors who said there's nothing wrong with these articles apart from one slight error in the numbers. But they were perfectly valid. And in fact, it would be an awful lot better if your organization in Oxford were to release the data on adverse effects that you have that you won't let anybody else see. People may find this quite extraordinary, but there is a group in Oxford called the Cholesterol Treatment Trialists Collaboration who said to the pharmaceutical industries, we'll get hold of all the data on statins. We won't let anybody else see it because it's confidential, sort of commercial confidentiality. And they produce all these reports from time to time saying how wonderful statins are, how fantastically beneficial it is, how terrible cholesterol is, and it must be lowered. And they're the only ones in the world that are allowed to see these data, and they won't let anybody else see it, which as a statement, people might find extraordinary. But
well, that's
I am not
a tell, isn't it? Isn't that what they call a tell? That tells you something.
Well, anyone with a brain, it says they're hiding something. And then we said, well, we attack them on not releasing the data on adverse effects, and this is true, they said, we don't have these data. We've never had them. And they've written articles in which they have stated the adverse effects of statins and how few they are. And you go, well, how did you manage to write that article then? I mean, they say anything they want. They're a bit like, I would say with Donald Trump, he just says whatever he wants. And everyone goes, oh, yeah. And no one says, well, you're just talking utter bollocks.
Yeah.
And then no one goes, well, hold on, you said they don't cause adverse effects. Then when you were told, well, let's see the data, they say, we don't have it. Well, how did you write the article? And no one goes, well, this is clearly, hold on. You know, as I've said, I'm waiting for the burning torches and pitchforks, you know, on Parliament, with people going, we must see these data. And these people should be, you know, and yet nothing happens. They all go to the conferences. They all, you know, here is Professor so-and-so. We're giving him the gold medal for research into bullshit for the next 20 years. And they all clap each other on the backs and they all wander around going, aren't we wonderful? And no one goes, excuse me. You know, I do feel like I'm the little boy with the emperor with no clothes story. You know, these people are wearing no clothes. Yeah. You know, silence, child.
The professors, let me put it in that context, the professor's new white coat.
Yes, the professor's, that's good, actually. I'm stealing that.
You can use it any time. They must have known, though, that they were going to lose this.
No, they thought they were. There was a mediation. We went to a mediation.
Oh,
okay.
Oh yeah.
Some lawyer got paid, which I had to pay for, $5,000 for the day to come and try and get our sides to mediate. And we sat in a room with the lawyers from the Mail and Sunday or Associated Newspapers and them, and they were just so aggressive. They're so aggressive. They were so, like, I was almost comedy aggressive towards us. Yeah, we'll get you, and we support, and we'll take this until hell freezes over and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
I just looked at them and I thought, what a bunch of tossers. I said, do you really think, you're going to intimidate me with this? You know, anyway, so we had this meeting. The judge at the end was like rather critical of both sides for not getting some agreement beforehand, but they were willing to do nothing. You know, we said this bit about this quote from Matt Hancock about pernicious lies. Can we get that down? Because apparently, you know, he never actually thought it was going to be about named individuals. Can we get they kept the articles up for 5.5 years, despite the court case going on, despite us saying, look, just take them down and do this and do that. We were willing to negotiate a bit. I mean, obviously, the main accusations get stuffed. They were no, and they still sat there as though, you know, we are the kings of the castle and you are the dirty rascals. So there was no movement. There was no consideration. It was quite amazing. I mean, in fact, Barney Carman, we understand, has been promoted within the Associated Newspaper.
Promoted? Okay.
Following this article. In fact, our barrister said he will be promoted because it's their way of saying, sod you, we didn't do anything wrong.
Okay, so if they'd done something with him in a disciplinary way, it would have been in some sort of admission.
Yes. And also, the lawyers saw the articles before they went out. So if they tried to get Barney Carman, he might have had a quite good defence, which is, well, I did show them to the lawyers. You know.
Right, okay,
Then it's the lawyers, then it's the editor, then it's, you know, so you know, they can't admit to it being wrong, you know, or that he did anything wrong. I mean, they'll promote this as, well, we were just trying to improve the health of the nation and we were trying to call out people who are presenting fake news, and this is still something that we will continue to do because of our high moral standards, blah, blah, blah.
Fearless
campaigners against pipsqueaks like Dr. Kendrick, who no one's ever heard of, you know.
People have heard of you. Thank you to them. So in court, we'll get to, well, you've already said it in a few comments what the judge said, but was it crumbling for them in court? Because that would have been interesting to observe.
Well, I was at court, in court, and yes, our barristers were basically attacking them. But yeah, I mean, it was crumbling because, I mean, at one point he was asked about his knowledge about clinical papers. And we went through what is basically statistics 101, you know, on one of the papers that actually kicked this whole thing off. And, you know, it was things that, well, the confidence intervals don't cross one. I don't expect anyone listening to understand that. The confidence intervals cross one, which basically means the study didn't prove anything. And yet one of the guys from Oxford was saying, this proves the benefit of statins. Now, scientifically, medically, that was wrong. It was a wrong statement that they made. And in court, when we went through this and the figures, and our barrister, who we coached on this, said to Barney, well, did you understand this paper? And he went, no. Well, at least he was honest. You have to be honest in court. And so you're attacking these people who criticized this paper, saying it didn't show statistical significance, and you don't even understand statistical significance. You know, and in fact, he did ask his professors in Oxford, you know, how do we attack them on this? And he never got any reply. Well, the reason he never got any reply is because they realized that they'd overdone it here, and they couldn't respond. This, there was no response, all right? So they just sort of went blah de blah, you know, as they do in a very highfalutin way. I mean, there was things like that that were just obviously, you know. So when he was, you know, and at one point he was asked, well, have you read anything that Dr. Kendrick has written? And that wasn't asked in court, that was in the disclosures behind the scenes, where he admitted, well, I haven't read anything by Dr. Kendrick, but I imagine it's much the same as.
I imagine.
So he's like, well, you haven't read anything I've written. You don't understand any statistics. You're accusing me. At one point, he accused me of saying, well, Dr. Kendrick's using claiming observational studies are of high quality or something. I mean, he made some ridiculous comment. They didn't realize, I mean, I've written a book which discusses in detail observational studies, their weaknesses, limitations, and how to analyze them. So, I mean, it's like, he had no concept that, you know, actually it was like a huge frustration of a complete idiot who knew nothing attacking me for talking nonsense when he had not the slightest idea what he was talking about. It was quite extraordinary watching it. I was rather disappointed because it could have been a next stage to the court case where we would have gone in much more detail into facts, all right? At which point, his obliteration would have been, he would have been left a smoking ruin.
Right, yeah.
I would imagine, is why they sort of looked at what had happened in this stage one case and thought, we're absolutely screwed.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to facts, we're going to be calling on some of the most highly respected statistical authors in the world on our side. And he's going to have, there's no doubt that the guys from Oxford have run a mile. If they'd been asked to come to court and justify their stuff, there's no way they'd have got involved in that because they realized the exposure would have been just too complete because they rely on moving in the shadows. You know, once you start attacking them, once you start, you know, and you say to them, did you read my paper on, which looked at all the studies on elderly people with high cholesterol level and found that they lived longer than people with lower cholesterol levels, which is only one, all right? And in fact, people with higher cholesterol levels slightly outlive people with lower cholesterol levels in general on the whole. So having a high cholesterol level is such a terrible disease that if you have it, you live longer than most people and it has no adverse effects at all. You won't even know you've got it. That's a terrible disease to have. You don't know you've got it and you live a bit longer. Oh my God.
I hope I don't get that one.
Yeah, that's the baby I'm going to treat for the rest of my life with a drug that makes me vulnerable.
As you're explaining this, Malcolm, I can see it playing down like some kind of Monty Python sketch.
It was. I mean, or Kafka's Trial, you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was quite. I sat in court just thinking. I mean, there was times when I just about because I can't help trying to find the funny side of things sometimes, which is not necessarily a strength in this area. But I just looking at this guy and thinking, you know, our lawyers were just taking him and asking him a question, and five questions later, he'd either have to contradict himself or admit he was just an ignorant idiot. You know, it just kept happening, and it was quite amazing to watch. And he just got eviscerated, essentially. What do you do? But I mean, I'd love to make it almost into a play or someone better at stuff like that. Say, this is a play. This is what happens. Because it seems that unless you can get into the mass media or some, you know, public just don't get interested or don't trigger. You know, what you would need is that the public go, hold on. Oh, is that right? You know,
yeah. Is this for real?
These guys just sound like nutcases because they're saying that cholesterol is not harmful to people. In fact, it's an essential thing and makes people healthier. And then they get attacked for it. And they say that statins, which have a lot of adverse effects, people are saying they have no adverse effects. And anyone who says they have adverse effects is a complete idiot and knows and understands nothing. And by the way, we don't have any data on it, but we know they don't have any adverse effects. Or maybe we do have the data, or maybe we don't have the data, or maybe we do. You know, it's Schrodinger's data.
Yeah, yeah, like a superposition of data.
A superposition. It exists in a simultaneous state of existing and not existing. Whenever you think it exists, they tell you it doesn't. Whenever you think it doesn't, they tell you it does. I mean, it is almost ridiculous. As you say, it's like Monty Python. It's ridiculous. But because they hide behind everything, and they use their "do you know who I am" kind of approach.
Oh, I did, yeah. Mm.
Which I call eminence-based medicine, you know. Do you know who I am? Any idea how important I am?
Yeah. No. I haven't read any of your books.
That's right, yeah.
Tell me, Malcolm, when the judgment came down, how did it feel? I know it took a while. It went through quite a period of time.
July last year, was when the case happened. I mean, Our lawyers were getting increasingly twitchy, thinking, oh, God, you know. I kept saying, look, if the judge after that doesn't go, these people are just completely full of bull, and that guy had no idea what he was doing, and he wrote the most outrageous article without any evidence whatsoever, then, well, that's the time. I'm going to give up and go and live on a different planet.
Yeah, you'd have to, wouldn't you? Yeah.
So the judge came back. Now, his language was as they are restrained. But of course, you think, oh, right, we've got him. We've got him. And this opens the doors now to me personally to really go on the attack with, you know, I've got the sword of justice behind me, if such a thing exists, in that you tried it once, guys, you want to try it again? And now in court and in the disclosures, all the machinations that went on behind the scenes have been exposed. So your guy's arse is now hanging out the window. And don't worry, you will be named and shamed repeatedly. And they're going to hate it, but they're stuck because there's nothing they can do. Because this happened in court. And if you want to go against that judgment, then you're in contempt of court. So you have to be very, they now have to be very, very careful. Whereas we had to be careful. They have to be super careful. So we can virtually go up and slap them on the face and go, what are you going to do about that? And then they'll have to say, well, I can't do anything. The only difficulty is, of course, is making enough noise that it breaks through into the public consciousness that there is an enormous con going on here. You have been conned, and you need to realize you have been conned, and you need to take charge of this stupidity and take charge of the drugs that you put in your mouth and go and tell your doctor to stick it where the sun don't, whatever, if you know what I mean. I mean, it is. Yeah. We are damaging millions, in my opinion, all right? Billions. Half the world's population is taking these drugs for no benefit or such a slight benefit. I'll just give you one statistic. We probably need to finish there.
Yep.
Which is that and this is from the research that is published, all right? And this was published in the BMJ Open a few years ago. It said, how much longer will you live if you take a statin every day of your life, based on the clinical trials, which you may or may not wish to believe were completely unbiased. And the answer is, if you take a statin for 5 years, if you haven't had a heart attack previously, the average increase in survival is 3 days. That is 0.75 days per year. That's it. That's the highest level benefit that you can possibly get. Now, that figure is the figure that most people don't ask and are not given, and most doctors don't know. It wasn't disputed in court, that figure, by the way. It was just said, oh, statins do more than just that. And I said, yeah, they make people feel bloody awful as well. But so that's the answer, is you get at maximum benefit, at maximum benefit, 0.75 days a year. And of course, that's got to be balanced against, you know, you've got to take the tablet, you've got to go and see your doctor, you've got to get blood tests. It probably takes about 0.75 days a year of hassle, which you've just lost. And then you've got the adverse effects to take into account, which would have to be minute not to overwhelm that benefit. And I think that's a message that I want to sort of continue to promote. Do you really want to potentially, you know, really severely hamper your quality of life for the sake of 0.75 days per year of taking a statin? And if you do, fine, that's your choice. Don't let me stop you. Knock yourself out. I think most people would go, that's it? And if you ask doctors, and I have done, and I think someone's done a study, if you ask doctors, how many more years do you think you'll get of life if you take a statin? They come out with figures like 5 years or 10 years.
Oh, wow. They're way out. Yeah, way off.
That's
the propaganda, isn't it? That's
of course it is. Yeah. And they believe it. You know, I mean, I don't blame your average jobbing GP on the line, because they get all this stuff and they have little time to analyze it, and they kind of believe it. But the benefits are very small to vanishingly small, and the downsides are quite large. You know, your choice. I know what I would advise people to do.
What a great story, if you don't mind me saying.
Thank you.
The whole thing is, you couldn't, this is a cliche, you couldn't write the script.
Yeah, well.
Could you, really? Yeah, I can see it on a stage somewhere.
You know, I think I see myself as a plucky Brad Pitt-style, you know, hero.
Yeah.
On the mighty evil.
Slaying them all. Yeah,
slaying them all and being carried on the shoulders of the people to Parliament, where they shall change the law.
As a hero.
As a hero. That's how I see myself.
Yeah, with a great, huge orchestral theme at the end.
That's right. Women weeping in the background.
Yeah, that's right. Dr. Malcolm Kendrick, it's been great having you on our program. Thanks for the chat. Thanks for beaming in.
Okay, thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
Hi, Peter Williams here. Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email or hit the join email button on your RCR app.